This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
ACON is New South Wales' leading LGBTI health organisation. Its latest report, In Pursuit of Truth and Justice, documenting the gay and transgender prejudice killings in New South Wales in the late 20th century, shines a light on the suspected anti-gay homicides that occurred in New South Wales from the 1970s to the early 1990s. The report explores the factors that enabled a culture of anti-gay violence to thrive in New South Wales during this period. The report also brings to the fore the failures of the criminal justice system at the time and highlights the lasting effects these shortcomings have had on members of the LGBT community. Importantly, the report presents a series of recommendations aimed at achieving justice and healing for victims and survivors, enhancing current responses to hate crimes, and strengthening ongoing efforts to violence prevention. Now on The Informer, Dina Curie and Rachel Tyler-Jones speak with ACON Safety, Inclusion and Historic Injustice Project Manager Michael Atkinson to find out more about the report and what steps we can take to not only heal the wounds of the past, but get some justice as well.
How did ACON go about compiling the data for the report, which documents 20 years of anti-gay and transgender homicides?
We relied completely on public sources of information. So we went to coroners, courts, other courts. So we got unreported findings from different justice-related courts. We searched far and wide through media, press clippings, a range of academic sources, including Stephen Thompson, who's locally a well-regarded criminologist, and as well Australia and internationally. So yeah, we've scoured far and wide for information.
It's an incredibly detailed report, so that must have been a lot of information from a lot of different sources.
It was not hard though, in as much that whilst some of the cases we weren't able to find detailed information, there was a lot of information available on many of the cases, so it was very easy to start to see trends and common issues and occurrences and experiences of men and transgender women, which, as the report shows, was horrifying. For many of these people, their last moments would have been absolutely shocking and fearsome.
Michael, why is it important to bring up such painful and distressing events from the past as you have for this report?
ACON has worked, as many organisations across Australia and internationally, have worked in the area of safety and violence prevention. And we have been in touch with hundreds, if not thousands, of community members who continue to be impacted today. And the legacy of violence, it just has left such a deep impact for people. So those people particularly who experienced violence back in the 70s, 80s, even further back, who are still alive today, it's very real. The impact continues. You know, so many people continue to experience post-traumatic stress disorder. Many people's lives were impacted at the time. People feared coming out, reporting to police, going to health, like hospitals, for fear of being outed. And as a result of reporting, sometimes people lost jobs. People's relationships with their families were impacted. Yeah, so those people are still alive today, and the concern, people's concern for violence today is still real. So yeah, so absolutely, looking to the future, we need to continue to work with the police and other government agencies who are very willing to work into the future to improve responses and support and to prevent violence into the future.
Just looking a little bit at what the report was actually covering, could you maybe just flesh out for us what makes something a hate crime?
Broadly speaking, if there's clear evidence that a crime was motivated by a prejudice towards a minority group or a particular, so for example, a religious group, so whether it also it can be a race-based motivation, and it's very hard sometimes to prove hate crimes. For example, a perpetrator might have been heard using language, they may have left certain pieces of evidence at the scene of the crime, certain locations. So, for example, in gay hate crimes, given the fact that many of the murders covered in this report occurred at beats or places which were known to publicly, where gay men frequented. Australia doesn't have a very clear reporting or assessment tool, and that's one of the things that we're calling for.
My understanding is that, in general, when it comes to violent crime, including homicide, the perpetrator is known to the victim. So I was quite surprised to read that one of the three key findings from your report was that, in general, in the cases that you looked at, there was little or no pre-existing relationship between the assailants and their victims. Why do you think this series of crimes is so different from the norm in that respect?
This is common with hate crimes. Generally, the person's motivation is very different. So, yes, generally homicides, people are known to each other, and there's either, you know, motivations such as revenge and other types of similar motivations. Whereas quite often in hate-based crimes, the perpetrator holds very strong views. It really conflicts with their views. Often it is the case that they will strike out at someone who's not known to them.
The report seeks to deliver justice for victims and survivors. What would you consider justice to be? What solution would that be?
Well, that really would depend on listening to survivors. ACON, for example, we plan to continue to listen to survivors. We'll be holding a range of events coming into the future, panel discussions, consultations and events to engage the community around this important topic, because I think it would completely depend. So some individuals feel strongly about an apology from the New South Wales government, for example, ranging right through to some individuals, you know, for whom they lost a loved one. Nothing's going to change their grief. And I think just some form of acknowledgement. So, for example, the Bondi Memorial, Waverley Council have very generously approved to support ACON to build a monument out at Bondi. And I think creating a space where people can go to reflect on the memories of their loved ones, it is about moving forward and creating a stronger, more inclusive community.
The report calls for a formal apology by New South Wales Parliament and New South Wales Police for the inadequate and slow responses to homophobic and transphobic hate-motivated violence during this period. And we've just been discussing how much healing can really happen with an apology. But looking at past circumstances where we've had apologies in this case, do you feel like it can help bridge a gap and change the divide that exists?
Absolutely. So some of the other recommendations that we've got in the report include conducting further research to fully understand the extent of violence that happened in the past, as well to involve New South Wales Police in further processes to support people who come forward with evidence. I think an apology will help to bridge that gap and help people to think, okay, this is being taken seriously by government and by police, and I can feel comfortable to come forward with more information about my experiences from the past, because this report only details 88 cases. We know that there were many more cases of violence that were experienced by our whole community. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, intersex, queer, our community experienced prolonged and quite severe violence. And I think absolutely there needs to be that relationship, that ongoing relationship with police, and people need to feel they can trust in order to come forward.
You're listening to Joy 94.9, and we're talking to ACON Safety in Inclusion and Historic Injustice Project Manager Michael Atkinson.
And we're discussing the report released by ACON today, In the Pursuit of Truth and Justice, documenting gay and transgender prejudice killings in New South Wales in the late 20th century, which shines a light on the suspected anti-gay homicides that occurred in New South Wales from the 1970s to the early 1990s.
Michael, have you had a response to the report yet from New South Wales Police or the New South Wales government?
No, we haven't. It's too early just yet.
Obviously, this report covers crimes that were perpetrated up to the early 1990s. How has the LGBTI community's relationship with the New South Wales Police changed since then?
I think with the advent of the Gay Lesbian Liaison Officer Program, which was instituted in the 1990s, which ACON was fortunate enough to play a role in establishing, and Sue Thompson was the instigator of the list of the 88 crimes that are in the report. In that sense, the New South Wales Police Force and individuals within have really led the process. So it is critical. So the relationship is really important. The GLOWs, for example, just as one example, they are incredible champions for change and for helping their colleagues to understand our communities, to understand our needs, to champion diversity and inclusion within the police force, because it helps people to, when police officers are out working and dealing with our community, when we're reporting crimes, whether they're violent crimes or otherwise, it's really important that every police officer can understand our needs. There has been a lot of change, but absolutely there is more change to come in terms of systemic changes, so ongoing reporting of bias crimes or hate crimes. There needs to be a new system. There needs to be a very clear system that our community understands and thinks, okay, yes, that system is worth me engaging with to report my crime, because many people today still experience concern for outing themselves to police and other authorities. There's room for ongoing improvement.
Michael, in New South Wales, this kind of report and this kind of documentation that we've heard about for a while shows a lot of the mistrust that a lot of young people within our communities can have. Last week in Victoria, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers brought out a report that highlighted the fact that while the police are doing the work that they can, the reality is that for many in our communities, they still have a lot of mistrust when it comes forward to the police, because it's built into our history that there's been a lot of violence against us. And this report shows this as well. What can we say to our community to show that we're not only working to change that, but building the structures to create things and make it better?
Firstly, just want to acknowledge that report. It's a fantastic report, and I believe it was commissioned by the Victorian Police. So there is a concerted effort coming from within government and within police to champion the cause and to respond to the advocacy that's coming from within our communities. So that report had a range of recommendations, of which I just think are all fantastic, and many of which we had considered and some we included in our report. So, for example, third-party reporting mechanisms. That's an example of a way that if you experience a hate crime and if you feel an element of reservation about reporting it directly to police, there's international examples, particularly in the Kingdom and in Scotland, where there's different systems where, so for example, organisations like ACON can represent or support individuals to report a hate crime. So these are systems that are particularly good for young people. I think today, it's still difficult to come out for a lot of people. That journey to come to terms with your own gender or sexuality, it's real. And so whether you're interacting with a health service provider, whether you're interacting with, family members, friends, schoolmates, it's still difficult to tell people and to have that concern about being outed or people's negative reactions. So any system that can assist someone who has experienced a hurtful crime is welcomed.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Informer.
That was Dean Arcuri and Rachel Taylor-Jones speaking with ACON Safety, Inclusion and Historic Injustice Project Manager Michael Atkinson. A link to the full report can be found via ACON's website or via our social media. The Bondi Memorial, mentioned in the interview, honours and remembers those lost to gay and trans hate violence, and you can find out more about it or donate via bondimemorial.com.au.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.